Good morning. May it please the court. Brian Page, on behalf of Mr. Mojerod and his wife, I'd like to reserve 3 minutes, please.
Okay. Please proceed.
Deed warranties are an integral part of real property transactions. A buyer is entitled to rely on the title assurances that come with deed warranties provided by a seller. If a buyer cannot rely on those title assurances, then the deed warranties are worthless. The trial court summary judgment rulings undermine the integrity of these deed warranties, and therefore those summary judgment rulings should be reversed. Ms. Walden in this case provided Mr. Mojerod with warranties of quiet possession and to defend title. That meant she warranted that Mr. Mojerod would not be disturbed in possession of the property she was conveying in the future by someone who had a paramount claim to title. And if that possession was disturbed in that manner, that she would defend his title.
Well, we know that there was paramount title in Lorraine, apparently, because actually you later stipulated to that, I think. So the question under the law seems to be as to when the statute of limitations starts to run. Normally it would start to run at the time when your client, Mojerod, was essentially blocked out by the estate representative who put a gate up and told him to get off the property. So that was eviction. But the contention of the estate is that it actually happened as of the date of conveyance, because they say that Gilbert, I guess it was at the time, possessed the driveway at that time. Now, we know that he adversely possessed it, but I gather that the possession for the purpose of trying to figure out when the statute of limitations begins to run, it means something different, or does it? Is there any case you can point to that talks about what is the meaning of possession in that context?
No, because no case that I found holds that possession by the grantee, so Mr. Mojerod, means possession in the form that would defeat adverse possession by the third party.
But the thing is, if there is a trial, okay, imagine this, because you're asking for reversal of summary judgment. All right, assume that the case goes to trial. Assume that it's tried to a jury. There has to be jury instructions. The jury has to be instructed how to tell whether the statute of limitations began to run. And so let's say that the judge instructs them. Well, you would have to find that on the date of conveyance, Gilbert possessed the property. And then counsel would say to themselves, it seems to me, well, how is the jury going to know whether he possessed it or not? Don't we have to define possession, Your Honor? Don't they have to have an instruction that tells them how to decide that? And what
not necessarily.
Not
necessarily. I mean, I guess that's a jury question, a question of fact.
Well, it's a question of fact only if they're properly instructed. I'm just asking, how would this case be tried? And I'm not talking about what do the lawyers get up and argue. I'm talking about what are the jurors told about what the law is.
Right. I think we do have case law that says if the third party claimant is in adverse possession at the time of conveyance, then the statute of limitations runs. But here, there's at least a question of fact about that. My client was able to use the driveway and walk down the driveway.
So you're saying that adverse possession has to be proved again against the vendee, Mr. Mojerod?
If they want the statute of limitations to run.
What case says that? Because, you know, the estate comes back and says, well, but we've already proved adverse possession. We proved it against Lorraine.
Well.
And she could only convey to your client whatever she had.
Right. There's no dispute that the estate acquired title by adverse possession before the conveyance. The question about whether the statute of limitations begins to run at conveyance is, was the estate still in adverse possession?
Don't you mean something different than adverse possession? Don't you mean physical possession? At the time your client acquired title, there was no physical bar to your client using the road. There was no fence and gate across it that prevented his access. And I think what Judge Becker is getting at is, how would you define the word possession? Would you use adverse possession that transferred title, or would you use something that described the ability to physically use the property at that particular point in time?
Well, yeah, when if the focus is on my client's use and possession of the property, it's how he wishes to use and possess it. So at the time of conveyance, he was able to walk down the driveway. When he came back 4 years later, he was able to walk down the driveway unimpeded. That's not disputed.
The problem is if you talk about the law at that point in terms of the elements of adverse possession, there are five elements. I mean, it seems to me that not all of them are relevant. In view of, the Stobuck treatise that both of you have cited, it says the covenant is not breached until that person actually disturbs the grantee in possession. In Washington, a disturbance of possession may occur not only by a third person's physical entry, but also by constructive eviction. So isn't that the law, that there has to be either a physical entry that would constitute eviction or by constructive constructive eviction, which would be, I guess, record title?
Well, and in a lot of the cases, you see evictions happening by the third party filing a lawsuit claiming title to the disputed property and being awarded that. Here, we don't have that. We have the estate putting up a locked gate and telling my client once and for all in 2010 that you can't use the driveway anymore. It's ours. And that's when he was evicted because he wasn't able to use and possess the driveway as he wanted to. If we start qualifying what uses a grantee like my client has to make of the property, you really start watering down these future deed warranties that are so important in the conveyances of real property. And we ask that the court uphold the integrity of deed warranties and reverse the trial court's summary judgment rulings.
Thank you. Good morning.
Morning. May it please the court, I'm Tom Oldfield representing Lorraine Walden. I believe there are three significant issues critical to this decision. The first is the adverse possessor, the estate, and previously Gilbert Walden, Mrs. Walden's brother-in-law, were in possession of the property at the time of the conveyance after having obtained title by adverse possession.
And how does the record show that Gilbert was in possession, whatever that means, at the time of conveyance of the deed?
Oh, I think in the declarations it says that he was still living on the property. He died in 2009. He was still.
He didn't live on the driveway, though.
No, he lived on the property. In the driveway.
The driveway is the part that's in question. So we need to know, don't we, how he manifested his possession of the driveway.
Well, he manifested. The driveway went to his house.
The driveway, as far as I can tell from the record, went past his house. In other words, it extended for 30 or 40 feet past his house.
To other outbuildings. It was there. It served his house. That was the basis for the adverse possession long, long before. There was a fence, the remnants of which are still there, as is indicated in the declarations. There was a ditch that captured the water that seeped down from the adjoining property. And there was a driveway that went back to Mr. Walden's house and outbuildings. This was not a driveway that was ever built or used to serve the seller's, Mrs. Walden's, property.
Well, it may not have been, but, I mean, the question for the issue of quiet possession is that Mr. Mogerod had a survey and a deed that said that he owned it. Owned the driveway. Okay, so when he went out there in 2005 and then again in 2009 and was able to walk down the driveway without being stopped by a gate, without being stopped by any person, without being stopped by a no trespassing sign, why would he think that there was anything wrong with his title to that driveway? I mean, the fact that there's an old barbed wire fence or a ditch doesn't necessarily say that, does it?
Well, for one thing, he acknowledges he walked through a gate. There was not a gate on any other portion of the property of the property Mr. Majority purchased. The gate was put in there 50 years ago by Mr. Walden.
Which gate is this now?
There's only one gate.
And you're saying that the record shows that it was there and closed?
I don't think the record shows it was closed.
You're saying it was there.
So
he should have thought,
As you walk through the gate.
So he should have thought somebody else owns this driveway, not me?
Well, the more important issue on that one is that his agent had been specifically called the day of the transaction by Mrs. Walden, by her brother, who was the executor of the estate, and told the driveway is not included.
Okay, but let's talk about that. I mean, there's this West Coast manufacturing case, which you're probably aware of, and it has a discussion, as does the Popjoy case, I think, that says that it really knowledge that somebody else might claim a title isn't the important thing because that doesn't necessarily tell you that your own possession is going to be disturbed. Sometimes people claim things and they don't ever assert it.
Well, the issue
that case doesn't say that when you hear that you've got a duty to inquire.
He was told specifically that it was not included. Mr. Walden was still living there.
Okay, what prevented him from exercising dominion and control over the driveway when he went out there in 2009?
What prevented him from doing
right.
that? Prevented Mr. Majerad?
Right.
Apparently nothing.
So why wasn't he fully in possession of the driveway as far as he was concerned at that point in time?
Well, the driveway,
your client may have perfected title, but we're not concerned for this warranty with title. We're concerned with possession, the ability to occupy. What prevented him from doing that?
Well, he would have had to lock the gate and lock Mr. Walden out in order to have exclusive possession of that property. Mr. Walden and the estate in 2009 were continuing to use the driveway as they had.
Why isn't during that equally consistent with prescriptive rights as opposed to ownership for your clients?
Well, because I think the court is confusing what's necessary for possession for adverse possession purposes and the possession that an ordinary landowner makes of his property.
What's the difference between the two?
Well, in rural farmland, a rural property, which this is, it's not uncommon. I mean, we don't know whether Mr. Walden was even home on the two occasions in 6 years that Mr. Majerad walked down the driveway.
Well, Mr. Majerad was not interfered with. So, I mean, let's look at it this way. Suppose that when Mr. Majerad came out in 2009, he said, well, I think I'll put a fence on the driveway. I think I'll fence it in and I'll put a gate so that this guy over here, Gilbert, can't use it because I want to have exclusive possession. What if he'd done that? Then what would have happened?
If he had done that and Mr. Gilbert had or Mr. Gilbert Walden had known that, he certainly would have objected.
Right, and so at that time, then there would have been the fight that occurred that constructively or actually evicted Mr. Majerad.
But under Whatcom Timber, the language is clear. If at the time the deed is executed, the premises are in possession of a third person claiming under a superior title and grantee cannot
okay,
be put
I'm aware of that language. It says the premises are in possession of a person claiming under superior title. We know that Gilbert was claiming under superior title, but we don't know from Whatcom Timber how he was in possession. That's why I keep asking, what is the meaning of possession? And the reason I'm saying that, Mr. Oldfield, is because in the Whatcom Timber case, it was the plaintiff, the vendee, who alleged that the third party was in possession. So the case doesn't really tell us what it means to be in possession. That was a given.
Well, in order to the court is somewhat taking the position that in order to be in possession, if you have a driveway, you have to close and lock it, or you have to put surveillance cameras on it and step out every time somebody comes on the property. I don't believe that's the law at all. A person has to use his property and his driveway, possess his property and his driveway, in the way that a typical reasonable landowner would do that.
And what is the case that says that that's what it requires?
Well, there are a number of cases, or there are several cases, I can't cite one directly here, with regard to adverse possession of vacant property that says that an owner of vacant...
What distinguishes what you've described from someone who has an easement as opposed to an ownership interest in the driveway?
Excuse me, I didn't...
You've described a road, somebody using it, that's the kind of ordinary use. How is that tell Mr. Majard that that use is a claim of ownership of the fee title as opposed to an easement right?
Well, someone is using it, and certainly that's a question where you need to, there needs to be an inquiry of whether it's an easement or ownership. Either one, under the appellant's theory, would constitute a breach of the warranty of title, would constitute a breach of the warranty of quiet enjoyment. And the breach of the quiet enjoyment, particularly with regard to the statute of limitations, Mr. Walden was using that property from the day of the conveyance, was using it before and after. He was continually using that. That warranty of quiet enjoyment was breached at that point. It was not a later breach when he affirmatively told him to get off. The fact that Mr. Majard didn't come around in 4 years to observe that somebody was using his property and in possession of his property doesn't mean that he had quiet enjoyment during that whole time. It was being used by another. It was being possessed by another in the way that a reasonable landowner in similar...
And that's what I'm asking you, is what is the case that says that? I mean, you know, I think it's clear that you've established that Gilbert had paramount title, but the law requires more than that, doesn't it? And it seems like you're just saying, well, because he had adversely possessed it, he possessed it.
Well, he not only adversely obtained title 30 or 40 years ago, he lived on the property. He used it.
He didn't live on the driveway.
Well, no, but he drove on the driveway. People drove on the driveway to come visit him. He had a fence across, he had a gate across the driveway that he closed when he left.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Quickly on the gate issue.
Oh,
yes, sir.
If someone's driving back and forth across your property enough of a dispossession to breach the covenant of quiet enjoyment?
No.
Why not? In what case says that?
They could be doing that with permission. There's case law that says if there's open land and someone's driving across open land, that is presumed to be permissive. Those are recent cases. I don't know the name of the case off the top of my head. And remember, these are relatives living next door to each other. So I think in that instance, too, it's presumed to be permissive use as well. Just driving across the driveway is not openly making a claim to exclusive use of the driveway.
But would it have to be exclusive to breach the warranty, because your client doesn't have exclusive use at that point? Someone else is sharing. Is that enough of a breach to start the statute of limitations?
No, somebody has to assert paramount title, so title ownership.
So if I receive a deed to property and it turns out someone has a prescriptive easement across my property, there's no breach of the warranty of quiet enjoyment?
I would argue that's a breach of a different warranty, a breach of warranty against encroachments or encumbrances.
In your opinion, what could Gilbert Walden or his estate have done at the time of the between 2005, well, at that time and thereafter, because Gilbert knew that Lorraine had sold your client a parcel of land with the survey showing that your client owned it. Okay, so he wanted to make sure that Mojarad did not use that property, did not possess it. Okay, so we know that the one thing he did was he went to the closing and said so. But in your opinion, that's not enough. But what, in your opinion, would be enough?
Well, he would either have to permanently block my client from having used the driveway, or he'd have to sue, file a quiet title action.
What would it take to permanently block your client? Would a no trespassing sign be enough?
No, not necessarily. No, no.
How about a lock on the gate?
A lock on the gate? I mean, my client showed up twice, in 2005 and 2009, and both times was able to walk down the driveway unimpeded. That's the end of my time, I see.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.